Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to join me in John chapter 1. We're going to be looking this morning at John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. We are making our way through the Gospel of John, a gospel focused entirely on the life and the ministry of Jesus. And last week we talked about the fact that Jesus is the very exegesis or explanation of the living God. In his incarnation, Jesus shows to the world the heart of the Father. And so when we turn our attention to a gospel like this and we dig in and we really absorb what it has to teach, we are gazing at our Heavenly Father as well. There's power in this incarnation. And so we're continuing today in our series. John chapter 1, verse 19 is where I will begin reading. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied. "But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." Please pray with me. Lord God, we are thrilled at the opportunity that we have to be together today as your people. We come into a space like this and acknowledge this is not just us moving through the motions of worship, but instead, this is a divine encounter with the very presence of the living God. We acknowledge your presence here with us. And so in the midst of our singing and our prayers and our celebration of communion in just a few minutes, we celebrate the gift of the Scriptures. Not just something interesting to read and wonder about, but the very revelation of your hearts, of your love, the gift of your grace and mercy, all coming through to us through these pages and the events specifically of Jesus' life and ministry. And so in these next few minutes, as we gaze into these particular verses, I ask that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. I pray you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray you give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John the Baptist's ministry is underway. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, John didn't write his gospel in the same way that Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. He leaves a lot of the details out. We can pick up those details of who John was and kind of how he was going about his ministry, how he was viewed as this kind of wild prophet. But we're going to find those details in the other gospels. John instead focuses on the showdown that is unraveling here between John and the religious leaders. What's clear is that his ministry not only being underway, but also he has developed quite a following. And that following that John the Baptist is developing becomes a threat to the Jewish religious establishment of Jesus' day. So the religious elite in Jerusalem, and depending on how old your translation is, it might simply call them the Jews in this text. Newer translations tend to say Jewish leadership because that's the group of people who are being referred to. That group, the Jews or Jewish leadership, are referred to over 70 times in the Gospel of John, starting right here and moving all the way through the drama because they are knocking heads with Jesus and his ministry from the very start. The religious establishment is nervous about these new teachings that are reaching them about God. So the Jewish leadership send a group of priests and Levites to investigate John the Baptist. It's a good old-fashioned interrogation that unfolds, not altogether different than an episode of Law and Order as we read our way through it. And essentially, they ask John three questions in our text today, and I want us to take time to consider these. The first of the questions is, who are you? We see that in verses 19 through 23. This investigative committee wants to know who John is, or at least who he claims he is. And John offers three no's and one yes in response to their sequence of questions. I am not the Messiah, John says, right off the bat. All of Israel was awaiting their Savior. Could John be that Savior? And John, right off the bat, says, no, that's not who I am, not who I'm even claiming to be. They then ask, are you Elijah? And he immediately responds, I am not. Malachi 4:5 says, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the day of the Lord. And so they wondered if he was the prophet Elijah coming in answer to that prophecy, but he says, I am not. Are you then the prophet, they ask, and he says, no. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18 says, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me. And John says, I'm also not that prophet. The interrogators express frustration at this point in verse 22. They say, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who have sent us. They feel like they're giving him every chance to reveal who he is, and he's dodging their questions, and he's not answering them in the way they expect. But then John responds, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. He's quoting Isaiah 40, verse 3. And he's reapplying it to himself in this place. He's emphasizing in his answer that it's not so important who he is. His identity isn't the important part, but as his voice cries out and as he points to the one who is to come, it's the one he announces that is important. It's interesting the way he says, make straight the way of the Lord. Theologian N.T. Wright equates this statement to the sirens that sound when emergency vehicles are responding to something. Those sirens sound and we're to pull over to the side of the road and make way for the vehicles to come through. And in a sense, John the Baptist sees that his proclamation, what he's saying about Jesus, is meant to pull every distraction to the side so that as the Messiah, as Jesus comes forward, all eyes will be on him. They will know that he is the chosen one. The one that an entire nation of Israel has been waiting for. Who are you? Was their first question. Why are you baptizing? Was their follow-up question in verses 24 to 28. This question comes from a subgroup of those religious leaders who had come, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were really concerned with ritual purification. And so they were kind of like what we might consider in our Presbyterian church, the polity folks, you know, to make sure you're doing everything properly. And so they're kind of scratching their heads off to the side and they're saying, there are rules that go with baptizing, John. So why on earth do you think you're allowed to baptize if you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, and if you're not the prophet? They ask him a question about this. In essence, since you aren't those people, what business do you have holding these baptisms in the river? John answers in verses 26 and 27. He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Let me highlight a few significant portions of John's response. First of all, notice that John doesn't really answer their question, does he? What business do you have here baptizing? And he just kind of talks a little bit more about Jesus. He's not really interested in the rules. He's not really interested in their take on ritual purification. He's pointing once again to Jesus, more interested in talking about the one who is to come. Secondly, John says, among you stands one you do not know. D.A. Carson says, he's bearing witness to the hidden Messiah. They're standing beside the River Jordan. The baptisms are underway, and in essence, John is saying, he is here. He is among you. You simply haven't seen him yet. You haven't understood who he is and what he's come to do. And it's interesting, theologians have said that that's actually the call to each of us in this world as well, to announce the same sort of thing as we go about our business in this world, that the Messiah is here, that the very presence and power of God for us through the Holy Spirit is present, even if unseen and unrecognized by the world around us, by the people around us. But those of us who have been impacted by the presence of God, who have had our lives transformed, who have a story to tell about Jesus and his power at work in our lives, we get a chance, just like John the Baptist here, to announce the presence of our God to the people around us, to help them open their eyes to see that power that is available to them as well, that transformation that can be theirs in the same way. Thirdly, John expresses extreme humility as he answers their question. He says, "The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." A student of a rabbi or a religious leader in that day was expected to do everything a slave would do for a master. And John wants to make it very clear that all of this attention, all of the commotion, all of the followers that he's developed in giving his water baptism or a baptism of repentance is not about him. It's not about him becoming a leader that people follow, but instead it's always and only about the one who is to come. It's always about Jesus. His humility is powerful. So who are you? Why are you baptizing? And thirdly, who is this chosen one? This next scene occurs the following day. And though the question itself isn't recorded, it's definitely implied by the response that John gives. John sees Jesus, and he declares, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Underneath our English translation in the Greek that this was translated from, the imperative is bold. The exclamation points belong next to these statements. There's energy and excitement and declaration. We can picture John shouting to the crowd in the midst of his baptismal scene when he finally sees Jesus approaching. He also emphasizes that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the beginning of the declaration of a gospel that is not just for the Jewish people, but it is for everyone. Right off the bat, at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, we're making this clear. He has come to love and to save the entire world. And John the Baptist declares it as Jesus approaches. He continues and says, "This is the one I meant. A man who comes after me, who has surpassed me because he was before me." It sounds like a tricky philosophical statement there, right? But he's trying to emphasize the eternal presence and power of Jesus when he says this. It points back to the prologue that we began with a few weeks ago, where Jesus doesn't just burst onto the scene and begin existing in his incarnation, but he has always been. He was there at the creation. And so he comes after John, but he was actually before John. One commentator said, Jesus comes on the stage after John, but he was actually the playwright of this entire drama. So in that creative space, getting all of this action underway, and now Jesus finally makes his public entrance. And John answers their second question here, actually. He says, "The reason I came baptizing was that he might be revealed." And then John gives his testimony in those closing verses in 32 to 34. He says, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." John recounts the scene that took place some time before, when as he gathered with the people who desired this baptism of repentance, the crowd parts and there Jesus stands. And as he prepares to baptize Jesus, a commissioning to his ministry in this world, the presence of the Holy Spirit descends and remains on Jesus, the sign that John was waiting for, that finally this person has come finally the Savior has arrived. The sign, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, and the promise that there is a baptism to come, one of the Holy Spirit that Jesus brings. This isn't just about religion. It's not just about repentance. It's not about a human leader in John the Baptist. It's about clearing the way, making the way for Jesus to enter in and become that exegesis of God, become that full revelation of who our Heavenly Father is. And John's statement is wonderful. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. John believes and he provides an example for us, I think. Not many of us have plans to enter into our own baptizing business. We don't really place ourselves at the River Jordan in the midst of all of this action that we're reading about today. But we still see a modern application in what John chooses to do here, in the humility that he offers, in the recognition of Jesus and his presence in the world, even if he's hidden to others. And in his proclamation here, that I've chosen to believe that this is the one, and his announcement to the world that they too have the opportunity to follow after. For us, it's the Gospels that reveal Jesus to us, that help us to see that he was who he claimed to be. We have the testimony of changed lives around us, and maybe that's part of what led us to a faith in God. But we see in John the Baptist the chance to do the same thing ourselves, to declare that we believe, and to be able to tell the world that we too see Jesus as God's chosen one. I guess the question is, are we ready to testify? Are we ready to tell our story? Are we ready to shout to the world around us of the goodness of our God and of this grace that we see in Jesus? William Paul Young, just a few minutes ago in that video, so beautifully talking about the one who waits for us on the other side of the veil. Not disappointed, but arms open. This is our God. This is the grace that Jesus personifies in the world. And this is the story that we get to tell to anyone who will listen. Let's testify that Jesus is the chosen one. Please pray with me. Lord God, we see this revelation in Jesus, and we are excited to dig into his ministry that is about to get underway in the Gospel of John. And yet we see in John the Baptist such a faithful servant, someone who didn't need to be in the spotlight, but instead used the attention he was receiving in his ministry to point to you and only to you, to confidently tell the people around him of who you were. And contained within that testifying is the power of the transformation that you bring. Help us as those who believe in you today to feel that same joy and the chance that we have day in and day out, in every conversation that we have, any time that we come into contact with friends and family and others, to be able to testify to who you are and the beautiful work of transformation you've done in each of our lives. I pray all of these things now, Jesus, in your name. Amen.